Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What is up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between for joining us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to the show, everybody. If it's your first time here, you have got so much to catch up on. But just in case, we are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. That's right. And we do it one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, is Corey Morissette. Corey, what is it, 14 or 13 more songs, dude?
13 more songs. But I tell you, we're really ending on a sour note because everything's fucking up. By the last 2 days, every single piece of electronics I touch turns to shit. At work, I've had mics go down. I've had robot cameras go down. I've had computers go down, monitors, you name it. So I'm really nervous about touching any of this stuff because I don't want to wreck anything. So I don't know. I might try a sound drop here and just see if it works.
But you're not as confused as him, are you? I mean, it's not your job to be as confused as Nigel.
That's how I feel all week here, just confused and out of it. So I was really looking forward to tonight. It confuses Nigel. And if you watch Spinal Tap, kids, you would understand that reference. We got to get Christy on a call. We're going to live watch a Spinal Tap, and we're going to have a jolly good time.
That would be a grand old time. We'll see if we can make that happen. But yeah, so in case technical difficulties do happen, as I told Corey before going on the air, just blame it on the cat. Corey's got a new cat running around over there causing mayhem. So if
I got a cat update too.
Oh yeah.
So last week on the show, I explained to everybody we rescued a cat from our Humane Society. They're overrun right now. They have over 70 cats in a building that's rated for like 20. So we decided, we're going to go get a cat. And so we got the cat, and he's a little shit. You know, he's a loving little guy, but he likes to bite, which is a little bit of an annoyance. But the kids wanted to name him Bartholomew. Get it? Mew, cat, mew. That's fucking lame. So I eventually wore him down. I got a better name for the cat. And I laid out my argument for it a few days ago. And I'm happy to report here tonight, I won the argument. The artist formerly known as Bartholomew shall now forever henceforth be known as Eddie, specifically Eddie Cat Halen. ECH, if you will, the one and only Eddie Cat Halen. So I posted it on the Discord because I was so proud. I won an argument with my family for the first time in fuck ever. And, you know, Eddie Cat Halen is the name of my new cat. And then everybody in the Discord, much more entertaining than you and I are, went off on the cat puns on Van Halen like you would not believe. We got Scott Monroe did a playlist, including such classic hits as Ain't Talking About Catnip, Right Meow, Take Your Whiskers Home, Top of the Cat Tower, Hot Fur Teacher, Jamie's Clawn, which my cat is clearly doing on my leg is Clawn, Drop Dead Tail, Feline Street, Hissy Woman, Why Can't This Be Yarn, which is by far the best one, and Purr Comes to Shove. Why can't this be beautiful? We had Chad had some good ones too.
Here comes the show. Yeah. Fuck off.
AFU all furred up when it's heat. Catnip man, pounce, Siamese swing, one paw out the door, man. There's some good ones. And who was it? Scott Monroe again actually took four cats and put them on the cover for OU812. And we have a new record here by Cat Halen called OU81 Mew. So thank you so much, everybody, for the cat puns.
That picture was not only hilarious, but it was also disturbing in some ways just because of the way it looked. I was like, that looks so weird. But if Kevin Brown wants to turn that into a shirt, I'm not going to be mad about
it. OU81 Mew? Oh, God, I would wear that fucking everywhere. That was just brilliant.
I would, too.
Yeah. Corruption was another good one that was thrown out in the Discord. A lot of great stuff. See, if you're not a part of our Patreon, not part of the Discord, you are missing out. Holy cow. I just hours of entertainment in there.
That's a good, we'll just tell you right at the top of the show, you guys, we mention it every week, but I'm going to mention it yet again because the time is nigh, as it were. We do have a Patreon. It's what's helped Corey and me keep the lights on and just keep the motivation going. And it's brought about some really entertaining conversations with our patrons. Again, if you subscribe to the Patreon, you get a link to the Discord for one thing, and that is where the conversations usually take place, not so much on Twitter X or anything like that, but on the Discord. And I assure you, even if for nothing else, join the Patreon, get on a tier just so you can join the Discord, because it is absolutely worth your time. It is entertaining by far. So just a little extra incentive. But also, as Corey and I move forward, because again, as we mentioned, only 13 more songs left in this wheel, there's going to be probably a lot more Patreon exclusive things to look forward to as we progress. So get on over to the Patreon, find a tier that's right for you, and subscribe. If you find a tier that you like, but it's not quite doing it for you, or you just want something a little bit extra, let us know. I'm sure we can make that happen. So we're easy that way. So, all right. Well, what do you say we get this show started? And anything going on a la Van Halen news from the news desk?
Well, I tell you what, I always was going to report for the first time here that we are now officially 7 days free of David Lee Roth posting another shit video, but he posted one today. But he didn't trash anybody in this one. It's okay. He called it the California Girls Commentary, and it's just a running diatribe of whatever goofy puns are running through his mind. It sounds like it's material from his unpublished second book.
I see.
You can go check that. He's got a couple of good lines, but that's available on his YouTube page. But going over to the, and yes, Tarm, there are currently only two tiers. Because we kind of simplified things. For the $5 tier, you can watch along on the show every week that we record and get access to Discord. For $10, you can actually be on the show the last Wednesday of every month. So that patron show is coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll add more. You know, for $15, Mark's going to come to your house and mow your lawn and probably sing you a little ditty while he does it.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see how many subscribers in that tier we get before we can make good on that promise. So,
well, Kevin Brown just signed up, so you got to find your way to Saskatoon whenever the grass shows up again, which could be 4 months from now, and mow his lawn for him.
That's cool. The grass is never coming back. It's just going to be a winter wonderland for all, because apparently that's what happens up there.
Well, you know what we should do then? We should head off to Los Angeles, California, like Jeff Goebel did. Jeff Goebel from the Van Halen News Desk went to Los Angeles and did a little tour of the Hot for Teacher video filming locations. So if you go to his YouTube page, you can see Jeff Goebel takes us on a tour of the John Marshall High School. You can see the classroom where the guys recorded that classic video. Jeff's got a ton of great videos, including the site of the Van Halen 78 parachute stunt into Anaheim Stadium. That's kind of legendary. Eddie's last photo shoot at Vasquez Rocks in northern Los Angeles. Of course, everyone knows Vasquez Rocks. If you're a fan of Star Trek but Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, I think they shot the big death scene out there, too. So yeah, lots of stuff shot out there.
Basically, any rocky desert of any Hollywood film, it's likely there.
So you can check that out on the good old VHND. And, of course, we have another mashup, Mark. I know how much you love your Van Halen mashups. This is Bill McClintock. He did that classic one, that Christmas one a while back that we played the heck out of. This is a mashup of Van Halen and the Miracles.
Oh.
Doing the unbelievable Unchained Love Machine. Can we play a little bit for the folks here?
Oh, please do. I'm looking forward to this.
All right. Oh, yeah. Bill is one talented individual. That is fucking amazing.
Works so well.
Oh, man. Good stuff. Thank you very much, Bill McClintock, for that little piece of wonderfulness.
Thank you, Bill. That's amazing.
Unchained Love Machine.
I want more of that. Oh. Yeah, Unchained Love Machine. Good stuff. Look that up on YouTube, man. Give that guy all the likes and share that around, because I'm going to share that around later, because that's I have a feeling it's going to make the circuits for the musicians that I tend to interact with. I think they'll get a big kick out of that. So,
oh yeah,
big shout out. Thank you so much, Bill. That's awesome.
That's got a shot of being the best thing we listened to tonight, depending on what we spun on the wheel.
So.
Because last week we spun a song called Bullethead, and we were split on that. I gave it the mildest pass possible. Kelsey liked it a little bit more. You were negative on it. Mark, why don't you let the folks know how the poll went for Bullethead?
Well, speaking for myself, yes, I gave it no pass. I gave it a nope, I can't do it. There's too much about it that I just couldn't get behind. And I was alone in that venture, but not by much. By a whopping 59.6%, the vote for Bullethead was What Dreams Are Made Of versus a 40.4%. I had a feeling that despite how the way we talked about it, despite everything happening in the ether concerning David Lee Roth, especially, and this being from a different kind of truth, I had a feeling it was still going to be voted pretty positively, just because it's a Dave track, and for whatever reason, the mass audience just it's almost like they, I don't know that our audience tends to downvote much of any of Dave's songs, or the Dave era songs. I mean, obviously that there are some downvotes, but it seems like the majority are still fine with it, even if the song is lackluster, and even if we all are in agreement that this one doesn't work. The audience tells us well, but we still believe in it. And I was pretty sure this one was going to end up in this kind of a little I don't know what you call it, just this, the result. I knew the result was going to be overall positive, but not by much. So this one was almost 50-50, but it's still a bit more than probably it deserves. So what say we go see what everyone's saying about
before
it.
We
by
do
everyone,
that, before we do yes. that, Mark, I just, would it shock you to know that this is actually the lowest ranked Dave song that we've done so far? Taking a look at the list here, Bullethead comes in at number 95 out of 110 songs that we've covered, 59.6. Mm-hmm. It's just ahead of Year to the Day from Van Halen 3, just below Sucker in a Three-Piece from OU812. The next Dave song is actually at number 92, Dancing in the Street from Diver Down.
Well, that's just disrespectful. No, it doesn't shock me, because I do believe this deserves to be way, way, way down the list. And honestly, I think it deserves to be lower, but that, you know, I can't make that call. I can't vote for everybody. So when we go over to the poll and see what people are saying on Twitter, and by people, I mean our patrons, because if you want your tweet guaranteed read on the show, join the Patreon, you guys. That's another perk. So starting off, We have Sean McGinnity, our buddy from Sean Geek and Fast Fret Podcast. He says, sorry I missed out on the vote last week. Freaking work got in the way. But this week, Bullethead gets a dream is over. Ed and Alan Wolfie, genius. But it isn't enough to save the song from a piece of shit frontman way over his prime. Is my vote colored by current David Lee Roth ramblings? He asks in the question, and then he follows it up with, absolutely. hey, look, man, we appreciate the honesty, but look, I would be lying if I didn't say I had a little bit of bias into the voting based on current events, but also I tried to judge it as fairly as I could if we're just judging the song based on merits. And I still, even though I voted it down, and I still mentioned that there were some things that I liked about it, but like, I think the music is fine, but Dave just brings it down real, real bad. So current stuff notwithstanding, that was how I felt about it. Heath McCoy, on the other hand, says, totally disagree with the slam on the lyrics. Aside from the crazy dead clunker in the chorus, Dave's wordplay is clever, metaphorical, and miles above anything Lunch Pail Sammy could ever conceive. It's a killer track. He goes on to say, he doesn't go on to say, maybe he writes more in the Discord or something, but there you go. Heath thinks we're insane for the slander of Dave's really terrible lyrics, and oh boy, big hard disagree with you there. We love you, Heath. You're one of our best people, our favorite people, but man, I don't agree with your assessment that it's these lyrics were miles above anything Sammy's come up with. I'm just going to say, nah. But moving on. Our friend, but our old friend, but new patron from Dissect That Film.
Yes, Brett Parker, who was supposed to be here tonight, Brett. Actually, but a little under the weather. So if you're listening to this watching this, Brett, we're sorry you couldn't make it here tonight. We're going to spin the best song on the wheel because you're not, and you're going to miss it, and you're going to feel bad now. But we'll get you back on in March. Don't worry about it.
We'll get you on, Brett. No worries. So Brett says, one of the best songs on A Different Kind of Truth. Nothing special in the lyrics department, but Eddie Rippon and Alex and Wolfie keeping that stellar bear. It truly feels like classic Van Halen. I need to find my CD right now and jam out to this record. Put in on streamers, Dave. It's like, no, Dave is not going to put it on streaming. And for the simple fact that he's just a bitter bastard. But all right, I guess at least Brett's admitting that the lyrics on this song aren't the best, and not the certainly nothing to write home about, but he still enjoys the song. So there you go. Rava Flav says, you know what? It's okay. This band is like 35 years old at this point. Pretty off the shelf lyrics, but still pretty good lyrics for the David Lee Roth, who's now 35 years older. I did like the commentary that this should have been an instrumental, though, and Mark gets his coveted dive bomb. I did, and I mentioned that, and I love a dive bomb. You guys know it, and I did get it in this song, but sadly, the one dive bomb couldn't save the entire song from being rectified from a downvote, at least on my part. So sorry, I couldn't do it. Brad Gould. Brad says, great fast guitar ripping, drum pounding song. This solo is epic, and David Lee Roth's poor performance can't bring this down. # what dreams are made of. I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked by that at all. That's all I got. Jeff Brewer says, the lyrics are okay for the most part. The deepest of thoughts are not needed for a Van Halen tune. Okay. I don't think David Lee Roth's vocal delivery is anything special. Probably my least favorite A Different Kind of Truth song, yeah. But still survives with an upvote. As long as Ed is playing like Ed on the track, I upvote. I mean, and that's a fair assessment. If he's playing like Ed on the track, I upvote. Okay, fine. I'll give you that. The thing is, I don't know. Part of me really wants to push back on the comment of the deepest of thoughts are not needed for a Van Halen tune. Like, well, no, not necessarily. But I don't know. You guys don't really seem that relaxed when it's a Sammy era tune, when it's like he's not being deep at all. We gotta pick our battles here.
Yeah. Sometimes lyrics are so bad, you gotta just kind of shake your head and say, that's really fucking dumb. And sometimes they're so bad they're good, like The Room, the movie, right? You kind of think, okay, well, that's just so ridiculous, it's hilarious. And sometimes
I hate that movie.
Oh.
It's so damn stupid.
It is amazing.
But I get what you're saying, though. Yeah.
So it's kind of like that, too. The lyrics in Bullethead, I thought were just kind of forgettable. They weren't that great. And usually, if you know, I'd rather them be memorable. Like, I prefer the lyrics to Up for Breakfast because I don't forget them. And I can have a good chuckle.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, it's like, say what you want about Up for Breakfast, but at least you remember those lyrics, right? Because they're so crazy and weird and dumb that they just stick with you. We only covered Bullethead last week, and I still can't think of any lyrics from that song. That's how much of an impact it had. Exactly. So
I could barely hum you the tune at this point. Like, when someone said it was like the worst song on Different Kind of Truth. That and Out of Space are kind of, for me, the two weak ones on that record so far. Overall, a solid record. Like, it's not Van Halen 2 or Van Halen 1 or, you know, Fair Warning or anything, but it's solid. It's better than half the shit we're getting nowadays. Am I right?
Sadly. Especially in the rock genre. Mm-hmm. But all right, moving on. Matt Lacoste, our buddy Matt, he comes out with a tough one. My least favorite A Different Kind of Truth song and my first David Lee Roth downvote has nothing to do with this recent BS. He makes a point to note. One note song, terrible vocal performance, just silliness. Too bad, because the riff and solo are fire, but not enough to rescue it from this damnation. # the dream is over. Well, I'm right there with you, Matt. Yeah, it could have been saved, but then for me, like, Dave brings it down. And again, I'm trying to vote without any of the biasness of like the recency bias of recent comments, and just listen to the song for how it is. And you know, I said my piece.
Yeah, exactly. It just kind of dawned on me, this is kind of like Pleasure Dome for me. Like, we talked about it being a better instrumental, right? Pleasure Dome as an instrumental is great. Sammy tries to ruin it, and Dave kind of ruins Bullethead a little bit too. He's not singing well. He sounds pretty terrible on that track. And mm-hmm. I don't know.
Although I liked Pleasure Dome, if nothing else, just for the silliness of it. But
I did too. To a certain extent.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, Bullethead unfortunately just couldn't do it. So all right, that's it for the tweets. But we'll head over to the Discord where the real manifestos are happening again. Join the Patreon, get on the Discord, and that's when you can really just let loose. And as I said, if you are part of the Patreon, I will guarantee read your commentary. So here we go. There's just a lot of memes about like people making jokes on the song, which is great. I love it. Thank you all. All right, first manifesto comes from Chaz Mataz himself. Old Chaz says, I rest my case. Bullethead was a concept piece with David Lee Roth cribbing most of the verses from bumper stickers, as he did with Secrets, where he took most of the lines from Hallmark cards, which is hilarious when you put it in that perspective. It's cheeky and fun. Overall, it's a commentary on aggressive driving with a Bullethead being an attitude on full display on the fives, the mini highways around Los Angeles. Yes. The big warning in the song is, I'm as big an asshole as you are, so move the fuck over. I drive just like you. The musicianship is a world-class Van Halen chugger with many Eddie Van Halen signatures woven in the fills. I think this one is a case to be made of Wolfie throwing a nod to Mikey, as his playing is right in step with what you'd expect of early Van Halen. While it isn't at the top of my A Different Kind of Truth list, it's one of those middle tracks that I'd never downvote, as the solo is blistering, oversaturated, and just all out Eddie Van Halen, assault fitting the attitude of the song, like a freaking cyclist weaving between cars on the five in evening traffic, with the rhythm providing a jolty ride of full stoppage to frustrate any LA driver needing to get somewhere, but usually ending up boldly going nowhere. Love it, but still, fuck Roth for keeping off Spotify and other platforms.
Yes.
You know what's funny? After all that, I was really kind of hoping that Chaz was just going to pull out a... Anyway, I downvoted.
Anyways, fuck that song.
Fuck Dave and fuck that song. Like, but alas. All right. Scott Monroe. Let's see.
Edit it down if you need to.
I'll try, but I mean, you know, you get what you pay for. So Scott says, I'm with Corey and the others. Bullethead, which my phone keeps wanting to autocorrect to butthead, is just barely what dreams are made of. Even so, if I was the all-powerful album producer, I would have left it on the cutting room floor, as well as Out of Space and The Trouble with Never, yes, for a tighter 10-song record. I
Amen.
Agree.
Yep.
The main issue, of course, is Mr. David Roth. Lyrically, it's fine and has clever lines / bumper sticker sayings and a strong contrarian message, but David Lee Roth just can't keep pace with the trio. He sounds strained and tired. They should have tried slowing the tempo down a bit just to give David Lee Roth a better shot at keeping up, along the lines of She's the Woman. This version of Dave sounds best in medium tempo and low register, although I'd argue he manages to pull off the faster pace in Chinatown because he's not overextending himself the whole time. That and that album happened, you know, years prior, right? So Bullethead also desperately needs some harmonies. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's a short rocker with a blazing hot solo and some enjoyable accents like Wolfie shouting woo in the background. More importantly, the song doesn't overstay its welcome. During a listen of A Different Kind of Truth, I won't skip it, but this is one re-recording of a classic demo that didn't work very well, or at least could have been done a lot better. So, he made a point to type out all those B's. So I'm assuming, oh yeah, he said it was just barely a What Dreams Are Made Of. So, all right, that's fair. Davey Lee Smith says, Bullethead always got me. Plus, the song title always sounded cool to me. Just hearing that Brown sound never gets old. The guys are bringing it musically with Eddie's jackhammer riff, Alex abusing the drums, and Wolfie's cool bass slides. In other words, there's no fucking around on this tune. They get it. They get right at it. Eddie's solo may not be the shredder, but he's letting the rhythm push the momentum. Yes, Dave vocally would have been much better on here when they were still in their heyday, but I fucking love some of those lines. Quote, my karma just ran over your dogma. Who the fuck else writes that? I may not know what bomb the moon until you're crazy dead means, and I don't care. I'm all in, and they sound badass, and I'm singing it right along. What I take from these lyrics is Dave's slick wordplay as he's using the imagery of driving fast in a car as metaphors for facing life's challenges and trying to barrel through them regardless of the obstacles and the dangers they present. That's an inspiring sentiment for me that I can totally get behind. I love it. I mean, at least they're not third-rate sex lyrics in the most dim-witted and perverted manner possible, am I right? So give me this song and I'll put the gas pedal to the metal, burn rubber and melt asphalt. Just pure attitude, badassery, and true ass-kicking. Give me that adrenaline rush, Bullethead. Got A Different Kind of Truth. Fuck yes, What Dreams Are Made Of. I love the passion, and I love how this song really gravitates to you, Davey, and I completely disagree with every sentiment of it, but this is your moment. This was your comment, so I'm not mad at you for it. So moving on, some more commentary about lyrics. Jeff Brewer says, no need to argue. I wasn't really disagreeing with you anyway. Oh wait, he's talking about already read it. Anyway. Yeah. Okay, do we actually have
Kevin Brown had a big
there it is. Okay. All right, Kevin.
I'm going to rename, by the way, on the channel, I named it Mini Festos. I'm changing that name because some of these are like 5 pages long.
Some of these are just full on manifestos. So it's fine. It's fine. Yep. But Kevin Brown says, my thoughts on Bullethead. I'll start with the things I dislike, then go on to the things I like. Al's snare sound, Al's snare just sounds flat and the bass guitar is distractingly loud. It's a great part, but it's way too loud in the mix. I hear you.
All right.
I find the mix on this whole album muddy and frustrating. The lyrics are half-assed and throwaway. Lyrics don't always matter. Last week I said I don't give a crap about whether the lyrics in Somebody Give Me a Doctor are good or bad because it doesn't matter. Here, they're just trying to be witty and slick, and for me, they just come off as alpha male petrol head trash.
Petrol head.
Also, I wonder if David Lee Roth paid the bumper sticker people some scratch for stealing their lines. Musically, the main riff doesn't do much for me, and the main chorus riff is fairly stock chugga chugga. Albeit with that little Ed flavor. Sure, the solo is fine, but below Ed. But it's below Ed's best, in my opinion. I really don't like that hugely flanged flanged tone. Flanged or flanged.
Flanged.
It's like I never know which way to pronounce that, but it's fine. You know what I'm talking about. It cuts off at the knees, any power that the solo would have had. And the notes he's playing are cool, but I just can't get past that awful warbling tone. Dave's voice is not great on this record. Let's not kid ourselves and let nostalgia take too firm a hold. When he screams on this, it's not the cool squealing howl he used to employ. It sounds like an old guy shouting at the poor lady at the DMV for telling him he needs prescription lenses to maintain his license. It's weak.
See, that just happened to Kevin this past week, so that's why he wrote that.
Funny. On to what I like about the song, which I should say is much less than what he does. Just throwing that out there. I adore that jagged step-up progression during Yes, You Are in Danger, I Drive Just Like You. That's absolutely dynamite. Also, the song is only 2.5 minutes long. I mean, that's a plus. I completely understand what the band was trying to do by going through old material, but there's a rock solid reason this wasn't considered for Van Halen 1 or 2 or any subsequent release. It's not as good as anything on those first 6 records, bar some of the covers on Diver Down. I know I'm in the minority. And it's not even as good as plenty of songs from a fairly tepid album. So all that to say, I'm quite sure he downvoted this one based on all of that. But if he didn't, then okay, cool stuff. But thank you, Kevin. I love it. And that, I think that does it. Yeah.
Excellent.
There it is. Yeah, that's what everyone had to say.
The bing you heard was courtesy of Eddie Cat Halen here, who is paying me a visit.
Oh, I see him.
Yep.
But cool. We had a lot of people comment and let us know how they feel about this song, and I read out the ones that are on our Patreon. So if you want your tweet guaranteed read on the show, or you want to join the Discord and really just put out a full manifesto telling us about how the particular song we spun made you feel, join the Patreon, get the link. That's where all the good conversations are happening. So, all right.
And I tell you what,
moving on now. Yeah.
I've been putting these on YouTube as well. We got like 500 followers on YouTube all of a sudden. And
hey.
People are commenting on there. My favorite comment of all time came on last week's show, and it was simply some guy who just said, "Guys, get a life." Like, working on it.
I saw that one. Yeah. It's like, hey, look, man, we've got lives, but this is a part of our life now. So
that's right.
Enjoy it or fuck off. You know, that's what it is. But since we're doing so decently on YouTube, does that mean I have to like care about my appearance now since we're on camera?
I don't know. I don't want to do that. Fuck all for the fine folks at YouTube. First of all, thank you for subscribing and following our show on YouTube. Like I make sure that I have the show rendered out Friday morning for the podcast listeners, and then I throw up the YouTube one kind of whenever I get a minute. Usually it's like Sunday, Monday. I'll just put it up there. And, you know, they do pretty well. You get 1,000 views here or there, and you get some pretty good engagement. A lot of people commenting. A lot of people disagreeing, actually, with our take. Some guy on the last show pretty pissed off at us for giving Eddie and Wolfie a pass for being assholes and putting all the blame on Dave. And, you know, yeah, Eddie had his demons and stuff, but I don't really recall him being a colossal asshole to everybody else in the public eye. Sammy, of course, has done his fair share of bitching and moaning in his book, especially. And Wolfie just picks on people on Twitter who piss him off, like the assholes who say, "Oh, you're, you know, coasting on your dad's coattails and all that bullshit." And I'm 100% with Wolfie on those. Like, yeah, let him have it.
Yeah. Like of all of them that deserve a pass because they're not an asshole, it's Wolfie.
Yeah.
Like maybe Mikey too, but I mean,
everybody loves Mikey.
Has Wolfie done?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what has Wolfie done? Like, no, we're not. Gonna unless he outright comes out, the only people he's being an asshole to are the trolls that are already being an asshole. So
and more power to him.
For sure. And as you say, it's not that we give Eddie a pass on all of it, but when you're trying to make the comparison about who's the bigger asshole between Eddie and Dave, I mean, come on.
Well, and Kevin Brown points out in the chat, Eddie's also not here to defend himself. So that's another important.
And then there's that. Yeah. And then there's that. So that there you go. There's the pass. There's the pass if you want. Yes. And anyway, that's how we roll over here. With that being said, it's time to go do the thing that we love to do. That's more fun than the actual spinning of the wheel. It's guessing the song, and that is when we do, say it with me, take a drink, manifestations. That's right. We're going to manifest the song tonight. Look, manifesting is going to get a lot easier because there's only 13 songs left. We just take a look at the wheel here, and it's a toss-up.
I tell you what, I've done the last 2 weeks in a row.
You have, yes.
I'm up to five.
You're the fiver. You're in the five-time
club. The five-time club, yeah, the only member.
New shirt. Yeah. I don't think, I mean, unless somebody gets on a real hot streak with their manifestations, you might be in that club by yourself.
I may win. Like, what do I win? That's the question.
I don't know. I think, maybe,
fucking Kev, Eddie Cat Halen is biting my foot. Motherfucking.
I mean, it's because you're not playing Van Halen tunes. So
oh,
he's ready to jam.
Okay. I gotcha. That's how it works. Okay.
But before we do that, Corey, I'm going to throw it to you first, and then I'm going to go over to the Discord and see what everyone else is wondering. But what do you want to manifest on the show tonight?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've hit the last two in a row, and I'm feeling kind of cocky because I've hit the last two in a row. So I'm thinking, you know, I may go way outside of things right here and manifest a song that never gets manifested. Because everybody in the Discord, spoiler alert, they all want their Josephinas. They all want, they want to finish off album tracks, all that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, what's one that has either never been manifested or hasn't been manifested in a while? So I'm going to manifest Big Bad Bill is Sweet William Now from Diver Down, because I don't think anyone, maybe one person, maybe Eric Senich actually requested that one, but no one's requesting anything from Diver Down. So I'm going to go Big Bad Bill. That's what I'm going to manifest here tonight. Mark Meyer, what are you in the mood to hear?
What am I in the mood to hear? I'll tell you. Well, I'm looking at the wheel here. There's a couple that I would really love to talk about. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm going to kind of go off of my usual instinct. I'm going to kind of throw a fastball here, or not even, just a change up. I'm going to vote for Summer Nights. And I know that may not be a huge shocker, because it does come from 5150, that is of the Sammy Hagar era, but it's not one I don't think I've ever manifested that one before, but I'm in the mood to hear it. Think
a lot
it would
of
be
people,
really fun to talk about.
I tell you what, and that's been manifested a ton. When you get into the Discord, you're going to hear it a lot more times, but Summer Nights it would finish off 5150 as well. So
maybe that's why. Maybe I subconsciously is like want to finish off 5150 so that we can rank that one. That's going to be a fun ranking show, but we're not there yet. So if we swing on over to the Discord and check out what everyone else is manifesting, let's take a look here. Scott Monroe, of course, he's going Josephina because he's gotta. But he's not alone, because our buddy Josh, he said finish it, Josephina. And they're alluding to, for those newbies here, if we spin Josephina, then we're officially done with the Van Halen 3 album.
That's right.
And then we can just stop talking about it until we do the live show. And then that'll be it.
That's going to be a depressing live show.
Yeah, it's going to be, that one's going to be rough, but hang on tight for that one. Our buddy Davey Lee Smith wants The Trouble with Never. That's what he wants to hear. So he's there you go. And then Chad wants Aftershock. Chaz Mataz says, rip the Band-Aid off, Josephina. Of course. Shocker. Jeff Brewer says, keep the Band-Aid on and finish the album next week. Summer Nights he wants. So he's there you go. Jeff and I, we're manifesting Summer Nights. Tom Armbruster is manifesting Amsterdam, because he's just high on life. Is what that is. And our buddy Michael wants Jamie's Crying. I think he's manifested that one before. I don't blame him, because that's a good one. And the last time we tried, or the last time we spun that, we had to spin it away. So let's see here. Jeff Brewer says, no Lamafina, no Trouble with Lamer, no Lamestershock. No Lamesterdam, no Lamey's Crying. It's time for Summer Nights.
My goodness.
And in parentheses, please. So everything is lame except for Summer Nights. So that's three for Summer Nights. And Tom is not alone, because we got one other voting for Amsterdam by proxy. So I guess we'll find out what it's going to be. If you're ready, what do you say we prime that wheel up and give it a spin?
I'm getting ready. I just wanted to find out how many people we had currently lurking. Pretty good group here tonight, actually. We got 9. So bring the wheel up here.
Plus us two. So you want to do 11 or you want to do an even 10? Or 12?
I can do 12. Why not? Here we go. 1, 2,
there you 3, go.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Whoop, 12. There we go. All right. If everyone's ready, let's do this thing.
Let's go.
Oh, we're going to finish off an album tonight, but it's the Fuck album. The Dream Is Over from Four Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. All right.
How about that? It's a this song is kind of a mainstay of the show, and yet we don't hear it all that often. those of you who know, you know. But oh man, we have officially finished Four Unlawful Carnal Knowledge.
Oh, one of my all-time favorite what a records. Ride. Yes.
Yeah, we unabashedly love that record. So now we finish it off, and you know what that means? That means add it to the list of live shows. That's not the next one we get to?
No, because we finished off, what did we finish off? Van Halen 2.
Van Halen 2, that's right. Yeah. I knew there was one I was missing there. So yeah, okay. So be on the lookout for that. You guys get your rankings ready after tonight because, we know what the next live show is after Van Halen 2. So, any words, anything to say, before we just launch into this?
You know, we've talked about this record an awful lot. Great record. We've already spun the two weakest tracks on here for me. We'll find out where The Dream Is Over ranks for both of us here. I don't want to tip my hand too much.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Like you said, we listen to it, not every week because we don't downvote a ton of songs. We heard it last week because you downvoted Bullethead. So we do hear That's it true. On occasion, but man, I am looking forward to that For Unlawful live show like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, that one's going to be so much fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to the next one, for Van Halen 2, because again, that's another one you and I just absolutely adore, and I'm very curious to see how our audience votes on that one in terms of ranking, but we'll get there when we get there. But for now, it's time to take a dream, and the dream is just it's ending. It's ending. It's over. The dream's over.
It's apropos. The 13th song left on the wheel is The Dream Is Over. All right, you ready?
It's kind
to
of
lose?
Funny, you know. At least it wasn't the last track we spun, because that also would have been poetic.
That almost kind of fits though. If it would have been, but.
I know.
Instead, we got it here tonight. What do you say we play it? This is The Dream Is Over from Four Unlawful Carnal Knowledge.
Hey, come on.
Hit it.
Wake up.
Mark, before we get into it, what'd you think of that intro there?
Oh, that intro is beautiful. It's glorious. And I love the progression of what's happened. It's not even a chord progression. Eddie's doing just the He's not chicken picking per se, but it's just the staccato picking notes. I love that. You don't get that a whole lot with Van Halen, and when you do, it's sort of sometimes is buried in the mix. But when you do get to hear it, and when it just kind of flows so smoothly like Eddie does it, I'm a big fan of that. So this right away with this intro, they're letting you know this shit's gonna bang hard.
Tom says, odd transition. I don't know if he's talking about our transition to the song, which was a little odd, I'll give you that, or the odd sure. transition maybe coming into the main riff of the song, which I always kind of dug. I love the come on man, wake up, beginning of it to it. They got the bound, bound, and then
I like that too.
Yeah, and then just a little bit of, like you said, not quite chicken picking, but pretty close, and then right into that killer first riff. So. I find myself agreeing with Scott Everett, as I normally do, saying Al is just fantastic on this one. This is a real Al a standout track from this one here. Absolutely. Jeff Brewer says, ain't talking about love, muted arpeggios.
There it is. Thank you. That's much more eloquently than I put it. So I appreciate it.
And
the
Tom
arpeggiatedness.
Was, that's
yes.
right. Tom was referring to the coming into the main riff. Yeah. It never really bothered me. It does kind of feel a little abrupt, but so I can kind of see Tom's point, but it didn't bug me too much. How about you?
No. I now that you pointed out, I get why you would think that would be weird, but it worked for me.
Yep. And here's Kevin Brown piggybacking on somebody else's brilliant comment. Was going to say the same thing, Jeff. Great throwback. Yeah. You sure were, Kevin. Right. Fucking Liverpudlian
hey,
fuck. No. He's from Liverpool. He didn't know shit. Oh, he's gonna be so mad at me later tonight. He hates it when I call him a Liverpudlian.
No, those Liverpool people. They what do they know about music?
All right. Speaking of music, let's get back to her. I'm loving what Sammy's doing on this vocally.
Oh yeah.
Lyrically. It's easy money. It's a way out. Join the family. No middleman, no IRS, your ticket out of poverty. That all sounds really cool.
He's telling a pretty clear, concise story, I think, with these lyrics. So, I mean, I don't want to hear anybody say it's just gibberish. It's not gibberish. If you don't like the lyrics, fine, but this is not your, those that don't dig Sammy's lyrics. Typically, this is not the same. This is not what you would expect from those gibberish lyrics. These are actually make sense. He's, like I said, he's telling the story. I love what he's doing vocally too. I don't understand how he's doing a lot of those vocal lines, because he's just sort of like floating to those like screechy high notes, and then he's coming right back down, and he's just kind of doing you may not think he's doing vocal gymnastics, but he is, because he's hitting those notes and they may sound kind of like off or like an accidental, but I guarantee you they're not. I guarantee you it's just him doing what he can do, because Sammy is a vocal force. Say what you will about him lyrically, but man, his vocal tonality and his ability to carry vocal phrases is just, it's unmatched. It really is. I won't say unmatched. I will say it's rare. There are only a few metal / rock vocalists that can have that sort of control vocally like he does.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the chat real quick. Scott Haskin, the sexiest man in podcasting, says the irony is that you have to play the song if you downvote the song. So we'll see if we if we hear it twice tonight. Tom says, I love the buildup of the pre-chorus breaking back into the verse. Yes, that is very, very good. And lyrically, I just wanted to point out, it's kind of apropos to what's happening in America right now. You see the power changing hands, rising from the streets. Self-made businessman knows how the system can be beat. You got a alleged self-made businessman who had a successful real estate company inherited to him that he promptly flushed down the toilet along with every other business venture he ever started and entered bankruptcy.
Literally
everyone went bankrupt literally 13 everyone. Times, is now facing a very serious jail sentence that could very well be your next president of the United States.
There, I don't understand how the legal precedences don't prevent that from happening, from him running again, because need we forget the dark 4 years that we already had? Like, I don't understand that, but don't get me started on that. But to your point, yes, these lyrics are absolutely kind of serendipitous that we would spin this particular song, and you know, with everything going on, especially in, you know, my neck of the woods, you're safe up there in the Great White North.
Oh, fuck no. We got our own Trumps up here, believe me, but like lines like we're flat, stone cold lied to. We're lied to every single day. My provincial government lies to us every single day. They're in negotiations with our teachers right now, and they're trying to screw over teachers of all people, the people who are like bringing up the next generation of people to run the province. And they're trying to just jip them on every fucking little thing. And they're lying to us every single day. I can relate to lines like that. And I imagine you can too.
Well, I was going to like not bring that up. I was going to let you have that win. But if you insist, yeah, you're right. Yeah. And don't get me started on the education system, especially down here and in this particular state that I live in and our coward piece of shit governor. But anyway, this is not the podcast for that, but no. All of that to your point. Yes, it is topical, this song. All these years later, and here we are. It's very topical even now.
Well, I tell you what, and I think everyone will agree.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.
Yeah, it's just that little turnabout.
Just that little turnabout.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going. Oh, I love that chorus. I love the harmonies on the oohs in the background there. Sammy singing the hell out of it. This is peak Van Hagar, if you will, for all the people that poo-poo everything after the Dave stuff. You're missing out on great stuff like this. I love this.
I like the chorus. It's the first and the third line of the "So dream another dream, this dream is over." The first and the third ones are, I'm not crazy about Sammy's choice in the notes, like how he phrased it, like note wise.
Okay.
However, when he comes back to it, the you know, dream another dream, this dream is over. Like, you know, as we're used to hearing it when we downvote a song,
yeah.
That part is great. It's the first part. It's like just he chose to go, this dream is over. It's just, I don't know. It just kind of low key. Kind of like, I feel just in my brain, and maybe this is just my neurotic brain kicking in, but also it's me. I would have changed just one or two of those notes to give it a little extra flavor, and then keep the second line, the fourth line, just the way he did it. You know, do that. But that's it, really. Like I like the chorus a lot. I'm just kind of iffy about his note choices on the first line and the third line. But that's all.
If I were to jump on that first line, I can maybe kind of see. Third line, I don't think bothers me as much. But like you said, second and fourth are so good.
Yeah,
like,
those are the money. That's the money lines right there. Yeah, and And I know we're about to like rip into the solo, but man, just the little teaser Eddie gives you at the end of this chorus is like, oh shit, we're in for it.
The chat is imploring us to not go political and just talk about the songs. Let's do that. Tom Armbruster says the buildup of the pre-chorus into the actual chorus also sounds odd, like an abrupt cut. I wonder if anyone else feels that. I can kind of see his point.
I felt it.
Yeah. I see his point. It doesn't bother me though, but I could see how it might, especially if you're kind of on the fence. Like there's so much good in this song that I can kind of overlook a lot. But if I was like fence sitting on this one and I heard stuff like that, I'd be like, oh God, why did you make that choice? Why did you do that? So I totally see where Tom's coming from.
I think he's also, that's alluding to kind of what I said, like the note choices on that first line and the third, because he repeats it, are kind of strange. And it's a weird transition with those notes. That's why I kind of in my brain go like, I wish Sammy, you would have changed that just a bit, not all of it, but just a bit. And then maybe that transition wouldn't have been so odd feeling. And then I wouldn't be feeling how I'm feeling with like, shit, how did you nailed it on lines 2 and 4? How did you like, why did you do 1 and 3 that way? So I get what Tom's saying for sure. It doesn't bother me too bad, but just a little.
All right. All right. Let's keep going. All right, we got some Eddie Van Halen goodness here. And thank God my cat was not biting my feet at that moment, so I wasn't tempted to kick him, because that almost seems sacrilege for the cat that's named after the greatest guitar player who ever lived, Eddie Van Halen. But, I mean, can you find fault in what Eddie played there? I don't think so.
No, not at all, or anybody. I love Alex holding down the rhythm there, and I love what Mikey's doing too. The bass is kind of in your face in this song. Mm-hmm. Even with Eddie just shredding it up, Mikey is still holding his shit down real tight, but doing some pretty cool things. And then of course you got Sammy, who's not trying to impose himself onto the solo. He's just letting you know he's still there, giving you those Sammy howls, and that he can do so well. I love this section. This section was so good.
And again, Alex just accents what his brother is doing. Yes. On guitar, just a little bit on the bell, on the ride. And then the drums on this album sound so good. Like, I'm such a big fan of the drum tone on this one. So, oh man, we got a lot of talk going on about Tom. Can't wait to hear how many times this was played live. We're going to play that game, of course. And everyone will tell you it was on Right Here, Right Now. Not originally, not on the first version of Right Here, Right Now, on the current vinyl edition, the Record Store Day edition that came out on red vinyl. It's on there along with Eagles Fly. Oh. But it's going to be on the new edition that's going to be coming out here pretty quick. You can go to the Van Halen store and pick that up on black vinyl as well. So I know for all of us who already own Right Here, Right Now, to pick up the vinyl version and to get bonus tracks like The Dream Is Over was a huge, huge bonus for us. And just performed impeccably live. Fantastic stuff.
That's what it is. It's the dream, another dream. He like goes back to it. It's kind of just sounds weird to me, him doing that, where like I would rather him have changed maybe that the note on that second dream to something else. Maybe go lower instead of going right back to the prime note
okay.
that he started with. That's what it was like. I was gonna really listen in on this chorus and see like, what is it about this I don't like? That's what it is. It's the dream, another dream, and arrangement. He had it on that, on the first and third line. But the third line, I will say, sounds better because the harmony continues from the second line into the third and then throughout. Whereas that first one, he doesn't have it. So it kind of makes it sound not flat per se, or not flat in the sense that, oh, the note's off. It just sounds kind of bland. Let's say that it's a bland choice, that first line, but it gets better with the added harmony on line three. But that's what that is. So I had just pointing out that I figured out what it was that I had a problem with.
Let's go to the chat here real quick. Kevin Brown says, I think it might be the only song from Foreign Lawful that isn't on right here, right now. Well, actually, they're all on there now. Originally, every single track, but The Dream Is Over wasn't on there. Now it's on there. So, because they did every single song from this on that tour. Tom says, Corey and Kevin's Lars obsession on the Ultimate Catalog Clash has really turned my ear towards the drums. And I just want to point out there, just a nice little fill to lead kind of back into the second reprise of the chorus. Al does perfect. And that's one issue we have with Lars, is that sometimes he doesn't know what to play in those moments, and he'll play something really fucking kind of out of place. And it really is really distracting when you're listening for it. Al never has that issue. Like, he does those transitions absolutely perfect every single time out.
I was going to say, if your eyes are open to drumming based on your show and Lars Ulrich, you're going to want to close those eyes every time Lars, if you start to really analyze his drum playing, because it's just, look, I've said it before, I'll say it again, because I have to apparently now every single show. It's not that Lars is a terrible drummer. He's a boring drummer.
Well, and when he's trying to be interesting, he fails because he's distracting from the song. Yeah. Actually, I was able to find a clip, a raw clip of Lars in the studio. Here we go. It's actually Lars's son. It's Lars from from the Some Kind of Monster documentary. Lars let his son behind the kid. He must have been like 8 years old, and he picked up the sticks and started going Metallica and just bashing. And I grabbed that because a lot of times that's what it feels like Lars does.
I mean, I'm sure Lars listened to that and go like, all right, well, when I'm done with Metallica, my kid can totally take my spot, and you never know the difference. Like,
I'm totally
going to
steal that pattern.
Based on that, no, we won't know the difference. So have at it, Lars.
Chaz in the chat says, the song works for me, but the formula didn't work later on Balance for me. So interesting there. Jeff points out it was the original Right Here, Right Now video. Yes, it was on the video, but not on the CD. Now, fortunately, they rectified that. They put this Eagles Fly and Mine All Mine back on the vinyl reissue of Live Right Here, Right Now. Kevin Brown is loving the vocal nerdness from Mark. There you go. We need more Mark vocal nerdness. Chaz points out, same structure as Humans Being, tense verse, uplifting chorus. I always like this, but he hates Humans Being. So
you're an enigma, Chaz. You
oh
are.
My God. Yeah. He is an enigma. He wants to have his cake and eat it too.
Who doesn't like cake?
Exactly. All right. What do you say we finish this one off?
Sure. That classic fade out, not the arena rock ending, we're just gonna ride off into the sunset doing what we're doing. Not uncommon in the Van Halen catalog.
No, and the dream, as per usual, they put some good shit in the fade out. You know, you have Sammy with this dream is over, like a new different vocal refrain, and then Eddie's doing some different stuff on the guitars in the fade out, and part of you is like, do that in the song, that was really good. But
no, it's like we say that they do that a lot. And I think it's a way of going, if you want more, keep listening, or like, stay tuned. It's like, we've got so much more surprises to show you. Or if you're really into it, then, show us some support. Let me hear you. Keep always keep them guessing and always keep them engaged. They know how to play to their audience. That is one of many strengths of Van Halen, for sure. And you know, it's for sure we have to vote on this song. And this one's bittersweet because Corey and I, we have talked about this album quite a lot. We love Foreign Lawful Carnal Knowledge. This was the first Van Halen album in its entirety that I had at one point. So it has a special place in my heart. Not counting the Best of Volume One, obviously. I'm talking about like a full-fledged album, like you know what I mean. So yeah, so I've got some biasness there, of course, but I mean but listen to, we have covered the entire album at this point. I think it speaks for itself. But Corey, I have to ask you, after all this time and through this journey, and now we've come to the end of Four Unlawful, is the dream is over, or has it only just begun? And that's what dreams are made of.
I tell you, I'm tempted to play this song again, but I can't. I remember getting For Unlawful on CD, and this was always one of the standouts. Like, Pound Cake was obviously great. Run Around, I really, really loved. This was kind of the other one. This and Top of the World were always my top four from For Unlawful. And doing this show, it's still right up there for me. I love how the band is playing this. Sammy sings the hell out of it. Lyrics, I thought, were really kind of insightful and timeless, too, because in 1991, these lyrics made a lot of sense. They make a lot of sense in 2024 as well. We won't get political again, but and listening to it live, whenever I put on live right here right now on vinyl, I'm loving it. I want to do a little favor here. I can't remember who in the chat was asking, but they said that they couldn't remember how this song ended live. So I just brought up the live version here, and I was going to play it here if that's okay with you, Mark, and we'll just see.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Concert ending, that's the way you do it. There you go, Scott Everett. I love that.
Love it.
And even in the refrain, like at the beginning, you have wake up, and then at the end, you get the let's wake them up, like fuck it,
wake them up. Yeah.
It didn't happen, unfortunately, from 91 to now, but
right,
it's a good sentiment nonetheless. But absolutely what dreams are made of. I love this song. All the little quibbles you have about different inflections on vocals, I can see it. Doesn't bother me at all. I always love how this one sounded. But Mark Meyer, are all those little foibles that you had, little quibbles you had here and there about this song, is that going to be enough for you to downvote this one and actually vote the dream is over, the dream is over, or is this what dreams are made of?
Boom. If I had to give this thing an out of 10 rating, I would probably go 8.5. And the only reason I go 8.5 is because half of that is due to the one vocal line, or the lines 1 and 3 in the chorus that I've already talked about. It was like, okay, I like wasn't crazy about how Sammy arranged that vocally, but the rest of the chorus sounds great and the harmonies help. So I give that just a half a point off, going like, I wish you'd done something better. And then the other bits of points that are taken off is only because even though this song is 4 minutes, I kind of wish it had gone just a little bit longer, to be honest with you, because as we said in the fade out, they're doing some really cool stuff and that would have been really nice to hear. But again, as with some Van Halen, always leave them wanting more. So it's, we're fine with that. I'm sad though that that For Unlawful is done, that we're done with the album now, but and it's kind of, it's fitting that The Dream Is Over is the song that we went out on. But I love this track. You're never going to hear me, I don't think I have since we've done For Unlawful, I don't think I've said much of a bad word about any of it.
No.
Because I love this album. You know, again, you might throw in the bias, but I think the work speaks for itself. I think the recording speaks for itself. The song structures, those two lines notwithstanding, everything Sammy's doing in this vocally, all universally vocally, I'm talking about singing and his lyrics, are so good in this. I dare you to say a bad word about this song lyrically. I mean, I know how our audience feels about a lot of Sammy songs and how they're written and everything like that, but this was clear and concise, and he's just putting on a maybe not a vocal clinic, but certainly a demonstration, and that is something to behold. And God, need we even mention how spectacular that solo was? And I love what Alex and Mike are doing as well, holding that rhythm down and everything. This song just rips. It absolutely rips. It's something you would want to hear from any era of Van Halen. Like, this could easily have been something in the Dave era. This could have been something in Van Halen 3 that might have gone like, oh wow, hey, this actually is pretty good, you guys. Like, this feels like a universal Van Halen tune, and I mean that in all the best possible ways. So absolutely what dreams are made of. But I am sad that we can no longer talk about Four Unlawful songs for the rest of this journey until we come up to the live show.
That's right.
We've got one more night to talk about and rank how we feel about Four Unlawful. I'm honestly nervous about that show because I don't know. Actually, I'm nervous about the next two, because as we mentioned, the first live show, or the next one rather, that we're going to do is not Four Unlawful. It's Van Halen 2. And you all know how Corey and I feel about Van Halen 2. So, are you nervous to rank that one? Because I am.
I don't know how I'm going to do it. Like, they're all so great for me. It's like, I don't know how to do
they're
it.
They're all so good.
Four Unlawful, I love that record, but I've pretty much got my ranking set as we're sitting here tonight. There might be some movement here or there in the middle. You got your Man on a Mission and your In and Outs. You know, there might be some movement there, but from the top to the bottom.
I can guess your bottom like songs.
Can you?
I think.
Can you really? Is it the one I've been talking about for 3 years now? Fuck.
No, I mean, like, I could probably guess your bottom three. Is like, I'm pretty confident I could.
Well, I know my bottom two. What's the third one? Enlighten me, sir.
Oh, well, let's see. I'll get back to you on that one. Okay. But like, I'm pretty, you know, we already know what your bottom is going to be. For
that one's
album.
Pretty safe.
Like, that, I don't think that one's moving up in ranks anytime soon. But
that's so true.
I'll get back to you on the others.
Oh, Mark Kamara, that music can only mean one thing. That's right. It's time for everyone to play America's favorite game show. How many times have Van Halen performed The Dream Is Over live? So you're the only one on the call here tonight. Of course, everyone in the chat is welcome to submit their guests as well. Please don't look ahead. Don't cheat. Why do that? You're just being a thief of joy. Just think back and use your brains to think, okay, well, how many times do I think Van Halen performed The Dream Is Over? Obviously, they played it on the Four Unlawful tour. Did they play it past that? You know, that's what you have to kind of reconcile. Scott Everett, we already have a guest, says 75. So there you go, Mark Kamire. The question is, are you going to go higher or lower than 75?
Well, Corey got wise and put the set list on the screen, so now I can't see.
I don't know how that happened last week, but I made sure. I logged into Zoom on my phone to make sure you couldn't fucking see. Chaz is a total dick, like one would expect him to be. He's a Price is Right dick. Scott went 75, he went 76. Because, of course, it's Price is Right rules. You have to get closest to without going over. So that's a dick move, but it's also really, really smart. And when I think of Chaz, I think dick and smart. Jeff Brewer says 50. So he's going 50. So those are the three guesses so far in the chat. Mark Kamire, what are you thinking?
I'm going to go with they played it 69 times.
Oh, look at you with the 69. Well, I tell you what.
Period! Exclamation point!
That's the wrong one, but it works anyway because I got to tell you. Mark Kamire, you have lost. The correct answer, 84 times.
Oh, man.
So Chaz Charles with his 76 has won it here tonight. Attaboy, Chaz. Good job, buddy.
He totally cheated. He totally Googled. You can't convince me he didn't.
And Scott Everett points out, he always goes 75 per tour, which isn't bad because they only ever played this on the Four Unlawful tour. They started playing the song August 16th, 1991, at the Coca-Cola Lakewood Amphitheater in Atlanta, Georgia. The last time they played it, May 24th, 1992, in Mexico City, Mexico.
See, that's what I was thinking. It didn't seem like this was probably a set list, like a permanent fixture in the set list after that. Especially when Dave came back to the band. He couldn't do it. And then, you know, he wouldn't do it regardless. But I imagine it probably wasn't anything beyond that tour. So that's a little insight into why I guess what I guess. But, you know, it's just a little bit off.
Not bad, though. And again, full credit for Chaz. Total asshole move, but we're paid out for him. Now, Mark, you're going to have to send him a prize of some sort.
No, I'll send him a prize, all right. I'll send him a prize that the people at Cards Against Humanity gave out to people that ordered cards one Christmas. Do you know that story?
I don't know.
Well, people one year ordered, because you had to order Cards Against Humanity. You couldn't just buy them at the time. And as some sort of special promotion, they sent out a box of not the cards, but a nice piece of ripe shit just in a box, just little turd in the box,
like real
wow,
shit?
It's in a shit, like a real turd. Yes.
Wow.
I don't know how they got away with doing that, but that was a whole thing there for a hot minute. That actually, I had heard about that happening before I had even heard about the game. And when I heard about that happening, I'm like, well, what the hell is this? Is this game like so
cat
like X-rated that's what we're holy doing shit here?
Are we still on the air? The cat just laid on the keyboard.
I'm still here. I don't know if we're still on the air.
My goodness. Sorry about that.
Zoom says we're recording. So.
Yeah, everything went down. Thank you, Kitty, for laying on the keyboard like that. Eddie Cat Halen is an agent of chaos. And I kind of dig that about him.
Aptly named, yeah. So yeah, you just embrace the chaos. That's I can do as a cat dad myself. Just embrace the chaos.
Good boy. That was awful though.
Well, there you have it, you guys. We finished another one off the wheel. We finished another album. It's gonna be like that. That's gonna be par for the course for the next in the next coming weeks. We now are down to our final 12. Right.
12 songs.
Or is it 13? Is it 12? It's 12.
Tonight was 13, yeah. So then we got 12 left.
12, you guys. So 12 weeks left in this main show. I mean, it's like they're not gonna happen right away. As you know, we have live shows, we got things to talk about, we've got other little fun things coming about. Matter of fact, Corey, you want to tell the people like about some fun live event that we got coming pretty soon?
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be coming up. I don't know if we're going to be doing it this weekend now, Mark. We should talk about this because we only have 3 people confirmed. We want to get as many Patreons on the call as we can, but we're doing a Van Halen trivia night, and we're going to be doing that in place of a regular show 1 week. So officially, I think with only 3 people available on Saturday, maybe we do it during the week. Maybe we do it on a Wednesday or Thursday instead of a regular taping so we can get more people. But I'm dying to know who out of all of our Patreons is the ultimate Van Halen expert, and Kevin Brown is facilitating it, and he is throwing in like some tough questions. Not only tough questions about Van Halen, but questions about our show. So you have to have listened to our shows. And like you and I imagine you and I are going to take part. We're going to fail fucking miserably, not only on the Van Halen trivia, but on the show trivia, because like Kevin's like, oh, I'm gonna ask him something like this about your show. I'm like, I don't fucking remember that, and I was on that show. I did that show, I edited that show, and I uploaded that show. I have no idea what the hell he's talking about. So
yeah, like I just there's so much even about like last week's show that I don't remember. Like, what did I say? Like,
I think Kelsey was on. Maybe, yeah.
It's like that's what I remember. I remember we did Bullethead. I remember Kelsey was a guest, and that's about it. That's all I remember. So there's a very little brain space to keep in once we do the shows, you guys. That's why we record it, so we can listen
that's
back.
That's right.
So if that's the case, then I look forward to seeing what nonsense trivia about our show that Kevin has come up with. Oh boy,
Chaz is complaining, but he has no respect at all. I'm not sure why, because I actually
your name's not Rodney.
Yeah, I applauded his strategy, even though it's an asshole way to go. And Scott Haskins says that Eddie Cat Halen is a better name than Bark Andre Furry, which would be, of course, the goalie for former goalie of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. I believe he's now with the Minnesota Wild. So Marc-Andre Fleury, one of the better goalies in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, the show.
That's right. But I don't know, maybe we should wrap this one up. And in order to do that, oh, I got to talk about some podcasts, don't I?
Yes, you do.
All right, here we go. It's time to do the pod roll, everybody. First up, we have myself and Kevin Brown do a little show called The Ultimate Catalog Clash. We're breaking down different artist catalogs every single season. Right now, we're doing 90s Metallica. I tell you, as we record this, we've recorded all the episode shows. We're getting ready to do the season finale wrap-up show coming up soon with Scott Haskins, so stay tuned for that. Kevin Brown also does a little show called The Tom Petty Project. He also does a show with his buddy Randy Woods called Seaside Pod Review. Scott does Uriah Heep, the Magician's podcast. That one's wrapped up right now, but he also does the Haskin Cast, which if you don't have enough Kevin Brown in your life, he's on this week's Haskin Cast talking about the Misfits. So you can check that out wherever you get your podcast from. Then, of course, we have Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast. Quit biting me, cat. Jesus. The Simple Man at Skinner Reconsidered. Terry T-Bone Matthew at T-Bone's Prime Cuts. Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast. Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods. Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge. Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z. Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Mad Men, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast. Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast. George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast. Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast. Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What. Quinn at In Volume for All. Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast. Chaz and Greg at Regarding Lulu. Chaz and Shats at Rush Rash. Chaz and Wolfie at Regarding Roger. We have the Rewind to 1984 podcast with the one and only Scott Everett. The Sean Geek and Fast Red podcast. The DLR cast. The Bogus Otis Show. Booked on Rock with the legendary Eric Senich. You're All Doomed. The Friday the 13th podcast. Dissect That Film with the one and only Brett Parker. Three's Company 2, a rewatch podcast. And Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, currently in February, talking about Hordy Tracks. For some ungodly fucking reason, they did a Porno for Pyros song this week. It was absolutely terrible, but the show itself is pretty good, so check that out. And that is the Pod Roll.
Keeping it going, we got to send massive thanks to our Patreons. You guys, you're keeping it going. You're keeping the conversations alive, and we appreciate every one of you, including Matt Lacoste, Nate from the Deep Purple Pod, Rava Flav, Josh Caldwell, Greg Zito, Michael Griffith, Chaz Charles, Sean McGinnity, Kevin Brown, Per Lineker, Scott Monroe, Ryan Powell, Jeff Brewer, Tom Arbruster, Scott Everett, Heath McCoy, Janice Risco, Brad Gould, Michael Triplett, Davey Lee Smith, Chad Pollock, and Brett Parker. Thank you all so much. It really means the world that you guys would even bother supporting just a little show like this. But the fact is that you have, and look at that. We've already come down to we're down to the last 12 songs. We're almost done with this iteration of the podcast, and we certainly hope that you and all of you, all the audience, stays with us as we continue to move forward. Where we go from here, you'll just have to tune in and find out. But while you're doing that, and before we do go, make sure to get yourself over to podcastwillrock.com. Check out all the backlog episodes in case you missed something, cool little things there. But mainly, we got a merch store. Lots of merch there, lots of t-shirts, lots of fun designs, courtesy of our own Kevin Brown for the most part. Grab a shirt, grab a, you know, you turn it into a sticker if you want, make it a patch, or you put it on your, you know, your leather vest, your denim vest, patch it up. I know all you rockers and metalheads love that. I got my own, so, you know, get yourself a patch, or get you a hoodie. It's still pretty cool out there in most areas, even though the I almost called him an otter. The groundhog said early spring. That doesn't mean it's going to warm up automatically. So, hey, you know what? Get yourself a hoodie. Get your hoodie at TeePublic, our TeePublic store. That's where you get all the merch. Support us a little bit more and just make yourself look snazzy and fashionable wearing some Podcast Will Rock t-shirts. And also, if I'm just speaking honestly, get you an Apologies to Gary's t-shirt because I want to see the army grow. It's been amazing watching all this transpire and just unfold. Thank you guys so much for that. On behalf of Corey and myself, we are And the Podcast Will Rock, and we will rock you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.